This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson holding it down tonight, and also holding it down, the Indiana Pacers in the NBA Finals to give us one more game of basketball before we hit the summer months. So we've got ourselves something to talk about there. We'll get you through the final minutes on that front end. We're starting to see openers matriculate out for this Game 7, so we'll get you all caught up there. We'll talk about another form of basketball in 30 minutes as well as Brendan Glashine. He does an absolutely tremendous job with the WNBA. He is a play-by-play voice of the Connecticut Sun. Going to be joining me in 30 minutes. I know that he does a great job out there in the northeast part of the country, taking a look at some WNBAs. Right now, other than the NBA Finals, which we've got a few more nights of this for the OKC Thunder, well, they can technically come back, but I don't think so. They are currently down 25 points in the fourth quarter, so I think that this game is pretty much salted away. And if you took a shot on the over in this game, well, that is absolutely shot, with it now being 100-80 with 4 minutes and change remaining. But that said, we're going to be talking a little WNBA in 30 minutes with Brendan. We're going to be here in the first 30 minutes, obviously addressing the fact that we've got ourselves a very epic performance here from the Indiana Pacers. We're going to be turning forward to Game 7. And then in a little bit over an hour, Kobe Dant. He does a tremendous job over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. He's going to be chatting with us about what we're going to be seeing in Omaha with the College Baseball World Series. Additionally, we always like to have some fun with him. He picks a little bit of everything over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. His main beat is the college experience, but guy knows a little bit of something about everything, so we're going to have some fun there. And he's also been very good on any form of football that you want to bet, whether that be the XFL back in the day, the UFL, the CFL. If professional football is being played, he is making money in there. So we've got ourselves a great show here tonight, and we've had ourselves a great show here with the Indiana Pacers. Currently up 102-80. You've got 4 minutes and change remaining. All that's left is to decide how we're going to be gauging game number 7, as I know that we were seeing this opening line coming out a few minutes ago from DraftKings. They opened this up at 9. As we are seeing this come out, it is now -8.5 with the OKC Thunder for this game 7. And right now that total is 214.5, which I find to be very intriguing, because I'll be honest here, I did not think that we were going to be getting a 100% Tyrese Haliburton. Tyrese Haliburton looked very, very solid. I know that Matt Heumann said it on the previous show of VSiN Prime Time that it did feel like, man, maybe they just utilized the injury as an excuse. By the way, if you played some of the props in this game tonight and you took a look at some of the ancillary players for the Indiana Pacers, this is actually working out very well for you right now, because with this, we've got Obi Toppin, who's up to 20 points right now. You've had the benches just completely clear right now. You've got the reserves in the game for both the Pacers and the OKC Thunder. And for the OKC Thunder, the guy that you might have been able to make a little bit of money on, Isaiah Joe, he's making a go. He's got 7 points in this game, has a made three. So if you took a little bit of a gamble there, that was one that was able to pay off. Kendrick Williams is actually seeing massive minutes in this game. And one jarring stat that I do find with this game right now, I know that plus minus can sometimes lie, it's certainly not an end all be all, the plus minus of Alex Caruso in his 22 minutes, -33. That has not been great, to say the least. As for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, not necessarily the performance that you'd expect to have from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, albeit only 31 minutes. He's not out there on the court right now as we are counting down the final 3 minutes, but 21 points. He was able to give you 4 rebounds, so he's able to do a solid job there. I personally thought that Isaiah Hartenstein would have himself a big game. I took the over on his rebound prop. He is not getting there. 10 points and 4 rebounds, so that one does sing. Good news is I did take the over in terms of what we were going to be seeing out of Andrew Nembhard, and he had himself a big game. 3 of 5 from 3-point range, 17 points. He was able to get the job done here tonight. So for the Indiana Pacers, really very much a all-around good game effort from them. TJ McConnell was one of those guys that a lot of people thought was going to be stepping up with the Tyrese Haliburton injury. He has certainly been able to do so with 12 points. And a lot of places had the Haliburton player prop at a 13.5. That was the number at DraftKings when I was doing the show last night. Just barely got there. 14 points in 23 minutes. Very impressive. And now this changes the fortunes, in my opinion, for the Indiana Pacers going into game number 7. Right now, we are seeing an absolute demolishment, but personally, when I take a look at a game like this, you'd honestly rather get a little bit more demolished rather than play a close nip and tuck game, have your heart ripped out. Maybe that's just me and the way that I think, but for the OKC Thunder, I think that it's very clear what they are going to be looking to do after this game. They are going to look to put this game into a time capsule, bury it, and never dig it back up, and go back to what worked for them in game number 5, because game number 5 on their home floor was rock solid. And I will say, going back to the show that we did yesterday, if you missed any of that, VSiN.com/podcast, we've got you covered with a show podcast for every single show, every hour, every day, so it's always a good way to be able to reset things. But I know that we were talking with Wes Reynolds, and he was mentioning this, just how massive the home court advantage has been in this series. And I do agree with him. We have seen it all throughout, even with the Indiana Pacers blowing that game number 4. You can tell that they very clearly had the advantage there. And really, it has been a case where these home teams have looked very dominant. Even go back to game 1. If it wasn't for a Herculean comeback for the Indiana Pacers, we wouldn't have this game right now. So it's been a very rambunctious one, and one where we will be getting one more game out of this series. And what else we're going to be getting a little bit more of? Football in our lives. And here at VSiN, we are getting you all set for the NFL season. And if you want to bet smarter this NFL season, you want to start by becoming a VSiN Pro. For a limited time, grab our football special at the early bird rate of just $175. That'll give you full access all the way through the Super Bowl. This includes our NFL betting guide, the ultimate playbook with team breakdowns, power rankings, and season-long bets. You're going to be taking a look at everything on a day-to-day basis as well. We got the daily best bet emails from all of our VSiN shows and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app, and deep dive analytics and betting tools over on the VSiN app. Don't miss out on this early bird special today. Head on over to vsin.com/subscribe. Lock in your early bird special. $175 gives you full access all the way through the Super Bowl. That's over at vsin.com/subscribe. As it is cashing out with myself, Greg Oops Peterson on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And if you have the Indiana Pacers in pretty much any form or capacity tonight, you are going to be cashing out 105-87. Right now, we've got 57 seconds remaining. It's out 108-87. So Pacers are able to win this one. The only question is, are they going to be winning by 20 plus, or are they going to win by 18 or 19? So they did a very rock solid job being able to come out here and get it done. And for the OKC Thunder, the big question is, what are you going to be able to do with those Twin Tower bigs? Because they switch back to that starting lineup that I actually like. Like, I like the fact that Isaiah Hartenstein was in the starting lineup tonight. You also had Chad Holmgren out there as well. It felt like they abandoned ship a little bit too early on those guys. And for this OKC Thunder team, it did feel like they got a little bit, shall we say, too guard heavy, and they just didn't have the three ball going on this game. 7 of 29 from three-point range. They shot overall 41.1% from the floor. I think that that's a big adjustment that the OKC Thunder need to make. I do think that they need to go a little bit further inside. I think that they've got a nice advantage going up against a guy, Miles Turner, that Miles Turner did nothing in this game. He gave you 3 points, 4 rebounds, and just really no-showed in this game. He was the one guy for the Indiana Pacers that really did not do a solid job. So very intriguing to see what we're going to get out of him moving forward. And I know that they're showing this on the screen right now. For the OKC Thunder, following a loss this season, they have went 18-2. So this has been a team that has been able to bounce back quite well. I would say that with regards to the OKC Thunder, they are going to be able to rebound after this one. That said, this is, once again, going to be one of those scenarios where I want to be taking a look at things in-game, and I want to be able to bank on the team that is down, as long as it's not something ridiculous in the fourth quarter. Like, I was planning on carrying that out in this game, but the lead got way too big for the Indiana Pacers. So I will say, if you did bet the OKC Thunder when that spread came out live in the fourth quarter, you were able to get there in terms of a live bet, because for the OKC Thunder, we do have 50 plus seconds remaining, but outscored the Indiana Pacers 27-18 here in the fourth quarter. But just a case of way too late for them and for the Indiana Pacers from three-point range in this game. 15 out of 42 from three-point range. Solid performance for the Indiana Pacers. Sometimes they do a little bit better. Sometimes they do a little bit worse. Obi Toppin, in my opinion, once again, is the story in this game. And that's something that I truly have been noticing as the Indiana Pacers have been able to pull off these big wins, as they've been able to get the job done. It feels like Obi Toppin has had a big role to play in so many of them. So if you're looking at perhaps something that you want to be having coincide with one another, if you do like the Indiana Pacers to be able to cover in game number 7, maybe you do look a little bit more at some of those player props with Obi Toppin in. Right now, in terms of this game number 7 line, we mainly only have up there the actual spread itself. We should be getting those player props relatively momentarily, so we're going to be able to get you those a little bit later on. And as I'm doing this, they're actually starting to post those up. Like right now, if you're looking at Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for his player prop in game number 7, that player prop number is 32. I've been gauging the Ben Mathurin player prop all throughout the postseason as well. His total is going to be an over-under of 8.5, so very intrigued there. I'll be deciphering this during the break, and I'll give you guys what I'm taking a look at in terms of game number 7 personally. A little bit hard to be able to do that on the fly, but for the OKC Thunder, being able to do anything for them tonight has been very difficult. 108-88, got mere seconds remaining in this game as for the Indiana Pacers, just took complete control. If you took the under, that was the biggest no sweat bet of the night. This one fell way, way under the total, and as we know, game number 7s, typically they do have, shall we say, a little bit more, I would say, what's the word that I'm looking for? You just have a little bit more, shall we say, purpose with every possession. I think that that's the right way of being able to put it. That's why you got such a low total in this game. Everything just becomes all the more important, as that's why you saw with regards to this game here in game number 6. Total was 222.5, 223. Right now, the opening total in terms of game number 7, that has fallen all the way down to 214.5. And truth be told, we have not seen the level of scoring that maybe we expected to see in this series thus far, but do you think that that's very intriguing to take a look at that total? We will be talking about that on the flip side, as right now we've got ourselves the Indiana Pacers forcing a game number 7, and we'll break down that game number 7 on the flip side. You're on Cashin' Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashin' Out here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
And we're back here on Cashing Out. I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Officially final out there in the great state of Indiana. 108-91. The Pacers, they get the job done. Hey, I will say this. I've been talking about this all throughout the postseason. If you live bet the OKC Thunder before the fourth quarter, you did get there. They did outscore the Indiana Pacers 31-18, but boy, was that too little too late when you're trailing by 30 points going into the fourth quarter. You know that it's just not your night, and it just sometimes happens in basketball, and it just does go to what we've been seeing all postseason long. The Pacers just have not really gotten a lot of respect. You can go all the way back to the Cleveland Cavaliers series. You can go back to what we saw in terms of the Eastern Conference Finals with them going up against the New York Knicks. Here in this series, they certainly have been getting that lack of respect, and here they are, one game away from perhaps being able to pull off what would be a stunner of a championship win. And if you did take plus 1.5 games with the Indiana Pacers, because we do have a game 7, you were able to get there on that front as well. So a congratulations to all tickets at Cashier. And I mean, going into the finals, OKC Thunder were north of minus $6 to be able to win the series. So there are some of you out there that you've got a real possibility of either A, hedging to be able to make yourself a little bit of money if you've got a Pacers future to be able to win the NBA title, to be able to win the series in general if you took that when the series was set, or you have yourself a chance to be able to just put yourself in great position in general, just regardless of how you want to be able to go about things. I always say this with regards to hedging. Yes, 10 different people how to hedge, you're going to get 10 different answers, but certainly that would depend upon if you have a ticket to be able to win just this series, or if you had, like, say, 25-1, 30-1 earlier in the season. And if you did have a 25-31, 30-1, if you ask me, probably want to sprinkle a little bit on the OKC money line. I don't know if the Pacers are going to be able to once again get the job done, but I mean, it has been impressive to see. And the guy that really impressed me tonight was mentioning it in the previous segment, Obi Toppin, 20 points. He led all Pacers scorers on that front, was able to bury 4 big threes. And I mean, it just really has been a case where things have come and gone as Obi Toppin has been able to come and go. When this team was able to pull off their stunner in game number 1, Obi Toppin had made in that game, I believe it was was five made threes. He was able to give them six total buckets. You did have him in a losing effort in games number four and five have a little bit of a solid performance, but still, it does feel like with Obi Toppin, he's really been able to provide a lot of value, and I'm very curious to see where his player prop is going to be. Right now, we're seeing it at a 9.5 with the over at a minus 120, and I think that Obi Toppin might be able to give you a little bit more. Once again, he has been just doing an absolutely amazing job of being able to give this team great production all throughout the postseason, and he's been that guy that has really been able to step up. Now, I do think that Ben Mathurin is a little bit intriguing for this game number seven as well, because I've been playing pretty much the zigzag theory with regards to Ben Mathurin. When he goes over his player prop in one game, he goes under in the next game. We did see Ben Mathurin with a little bit of a, shall we say, rough one here. He gave you two more points than myself. It did get a little bit rich for my blood to be able to utilize the zigzag theory here in game number six, because we just did not know what Tyrese Haliburton was going to provide. His player prop was north of 10, higher than it had been all postseason long, and you did see the upgrade with regards to those Indiana Pacers player props in terms of the guards, not knowing if Tyrese Haliburton was going to be able to give you 100%, 80%, more slash less, but I mean, he was much closer to 100% than I expected, so a lot of credit to him. And this leads us into what we're going to be getting in terms of game number seven, as right now that spread is set in most places at an 8.5, with the OKC Thunder being the favorite. Though here at Circa, I'm right now seeing an 8 popping up on the board. That is the lowest number that I'm seeing right now. Circa also has the highest total, 215.5 right now, in a lot of other places anywhere between 214.5 and a 215. So we've got ourselves a lot of, shall we say, interest with regards to this, and we probably are going to be seeing a little bit of movement in the next few minutes. Like I recall, the initial opener that we were seeing at DraftKings was more of a 9 on this game. That dropped immediately. That went down to an 8. I would say, seeing the screen, it was about 8 minutes that it went from 9 to an 8.5. So that was hammered pretty quickly. So we shall see what we're going to be getting on that front. And we're going to see if we can get a little bit of something different out there with the ponies. Because if you're betting on sports, you want to also be able to bet the races. First Bet lets you wager on hundreds of horse races every single day from top tracks all across the U.S. and around the world. Sign up over at firstbet.com. That is the number one. STBet.com. Utilize the promo code of VSIN200, VSIN200. That gets you a 20% rebate for your first 60 days up to $200. FirstBet.com is where you want to head to. It is Cashing Out with myself, Greg Peterson, right here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. We now have a final out there in Indiana, 108-91. They get the job done against the OKC Thunder. Now we're seeing this opening up at an 8.5 in a lot of spots. Total is a 214.5. Just a lot of intrigue in general. Now, I'm going to be probably betting this throughout the show, and I'm probably going to be betting this just throughout the night in general. Now, the one thing that I don't really bet pregame with regards to the NBA is the side and the total. I am very much an in-game bettor. Like I said, you even saw it tonight. If you just took a blind stab on the OKC Thunder when they were down 30 points going into the fourth quarter, you were able to get north of a plus 20 live, so you were able to get there. Not saying that it was necessarily, shall we say, the most rambunctious fourth quarter, but you got there in the fourth quarter, and that's just what we've seen, not just all series long, but all postseason long. When these teams get down by a big amount of points, betting on them live in the fourth quarter has been your friend. Like, if you have done absolutely nothing else, you know nothing about the game of basketball, but you see, oh, Team X is down 12 points, let me live bet them going into the fourth quarter, you made yourself a killing. Like, it's just been that simple. It's absolutely incredible, and that just goes to show that the NBA is truly a game of runs, and just how difficult it is to be able to put your foot to the gas pedal all 48 minutes throughout a game. Every team does truly make a run, and we've been seeing that all throughout the postseason, and certainly there's going to be no quit with regards to either of these teams if they get down relatively big. Could you maybe see the bench warmers in like the final minute or so? Yes, but I think that that's also a very intriguing part of this as well. Like, let's say that you get in game number seven, the Indiana Pacers, who are currently 8 to 8.5 point underdogs. They're down 16 points with 5 minutes remaining, for example. In a normal game, maybe they're going to be quitting on that. they are not going to be quitting in the NBA Finals. I can tell you that much. You don't go that far just to go that far. They are going to be giving it their all. They're going to be absolutely putting it down, and they're going to be trying to give you everything humanly possible. So that lends itself a little bit more value to any team that might be getting down in this game. Any sort of, shall we say, added value with regards to the team that is the underdog during the game as well. So I do think that that is something to be mindful of and something to gauge. And for gauging this game as well, just I think that the OKC Thunder are going to need to do a little bit more on the glass in this game, as they only had 4 offensive rebounds in this game. Now, part of it is because they just hit a bunch of bricks with regards to their three-point shooting, 8 of 30 from three-point range for the Indiana Pacers. They shot more around about 35.5% from 3, 15 out of 42 from three-point range, but I just think that it's paramount that the OKC Thunder, they look to be able to get their big man involved a little bit more, and I do think that this might be a little bit more correlated as well with the Indiana Pacers. They are a little bit more of that run-and-gun team. They are very much looking to play an offensive-style game, and if you're looking to bet this right now, I would say that if you like the Indiana Pacers to be able to cover this game, the over might be your friend. If you're looking at the OKC Thunder, the under might be a little bit more your friend. And I do think that this is going to be the game where we see the OKC Thunder really try to emphasize, all right, let's get the big men involved. Let's make sure that Chet Holmgren is going to be able to eat. Now, with Chet Holmgren, right now you're seeing his over-under with regards to his rebound prop at an 11. You are getting that at a plus 115, but you're still getting an 11 there. And if you want to go over on 9.5, you're going to be laying some hefty juice at a minus 140. That's one that I'd be laying off a little bit more. Do I think that they're going to be emphasizing Chet Holmgren? Do I think that the OKC Thunder are going to be looking a little bit more down low? Absolutely. I just can't bank on him getting north of 10 rebounds because he just hasn't been able to do that throughout the series. I'm going to be the schmuck that goes back in on Isaiah Hartenstein. I do believe that they are going to have learned their lesson, the OKC Thunder has, and they're going to be looking at him just a little bit more down low. Right now, his over-under rebound prop is 6.5. If you go under, you're able to get a minus 105, so relatively respectable juice. Recognize that I played that one here in game number 6, got a little bit burnt. I'm going to go back to the well. That is one that I'm certainly going to be taking a look at. And then I think that it's interesting to take a look at what you're going to be able to get moving forward out of Mr. Tyrese Haliburton, because I do think that he's going to be a statue suffering. If you're looking at him to get a double-double in game number 7, plus 310, personally, is this one that I'm going to be willing to play? Probably not. That said, if you're looking for a nice plus money play, if you do think that Tyrese Haliburton, he's going to be able to go in there and he's going to be able to just take over the game in general, I think that that could be something. I would probably look maybe a little bit more at points and rebounds and assists, but I think his fingerprints are going to be all over this game. And for Tyrese Haliburton, it almost felt like he pulled a Giannis Antetokounmpo, where he got injured back in the postseason a few years ago when the Bucks were able to make the finals. He was able to be very effective for them. Tyrese Haliburton, he was a little bit banged up in game number 5. Again, I think that Matt Eumanns, who was on VSiN Primetime, was onto something. Perhaps they use that as a little bit of a cover for the fact that he just flat out didn't have a great game in game number 5. Looked very good here in game number 6. What else looks amazing is talking about some more basketball, but we're going to go from the NBA to the WNBA. Brandon Glashier, he does a tremendous job with the Connecticut Sun, taking a look at their just overall team. He's their play-by-play host, and he joins me next right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It's great to be joined by this man on the Progressive Guest Line, as he is a play-by-play host of the Connecticut Sun. Does an absolutely tremendous job being able to gauge this great game of basketball on the WNBA side of things, as we've got Brandon Glashier aboard. And Brandon, it's great to be able to get you aboard. Thank you so much.
Greg, great to be with you. Big fan of your work. You do a great job in the college landscape, but this is summer, Greg. We're talking, yes, NBA, talking WNBA.
And soon we're going to be talking Summer League out here in lovely Las Vegas as well. So the hoops never stops. It's all 12 months out of the year. And Brendan, let's talk about what we've all seen in the WNBA thus far, because typically when you think the WNBA, the two big bad wolves have been the New York Liberty and the Vegas Aces. But the Aces, after what we saw in the offseason, no longer having Kelsey Plum, she is now in Los Angeles. They've fallen on some tough times. And just how have you gauged this Aces team and the little bit of a step back that they've taken thus far this season?
Yeah, they're trying to get Jew Lloyd into the mix. That was that big offseason trade that you referenced, right? The Plum goes to Los Angeles and Jew Lloyd joins a contending team. I think what we're finding about the Aces is they are very Asia Wilson reliant. We saw that last year in her unanimous MVP run. And while she's a great player and deserves all the accolades, they've become a little more one-dimensional. Jackie Young's a great player. Chelsea Gray still has plenty of prime years left. So Becky Hammon has her hands full to get this team right. But what we saw from this team last year, the Aces, they were off to a 500-ish start last year too, still found a way to the finals. So we're a quarter of the way through. They have a long way to go, but they've got to find ways to get their other weapons to be problems on any given night and not be so Wilson dependent.
Yep, I do think so as well. And Wilson has been incredible, but even when you have a player as great as Asia Wilson, it can't be one on five out there. So certainly that's going to be something to be able to gauge. And then how about if we do go to the game that you're going to be calling on Friday, as it's the Wings going up against the Connecticut Sun. Going to be a home game for the Sun, but they do find themselves as underdogs here to Dallas, right around about 4 to 4.5 point dogs. Right now I'm seeing an opening total in that neighborhood about a 165.5. Take me through this game and for the Sun, how they might be able to get back on track, because it's been a little bit of a rough start for them this year, 2-10, and for the Wings, been an equally rough start at 2-11.
And one of the two wins for Dallas was against Connecticut back on May 27th. They scored 109 points. We saw what the future might look like with Paige Bueckers, the number one pick out of UConn in this recent draft class, paired up with another ball-dominant guard, right, in Arike Ogunbowale. That duo combined for 40 points. So they're still trying to figure it out. They've got a couple of players out right now with Eurobasket, a couple of injuries. Dejanay Carrington, former Sun, will be back in her old stomping ground. So they're still trying to figure it out, too, with the new head coach. A lot of new head coaches in the WNBA, 7 brand new head coaches. So for Connecticut, that game got away from them because the Wings found a way to let Bueckers initiate some offense, and then Arike sort of had her turn. So they were swapping duties in terms of who's initiating offense. I thought they looked pretty good, Dallas, the other night against Golden State. For Connecticut, something I take out of the game we did on Wednesday night, they played the Phoenix Mercury, and the emergence of Anissa Morrow, the rookie out of LSU, who's really been dealing with a knee injury, missed a lot of training camp. That's a wrinkle that the rest of the league, Phoenix saw it firsthand, that if they're going to insert Morrow into the lineup a little bit more and get her some more minutes, you alleviate the attention and the pressure that Tina Charles and Marina Mabry have had for this Sun team. So if Morrow is going to play a part, Saniya Rivers, another first-round draft pick, the Sun are still trying to figure it out, only 2 returning players from last year. And with all the injuries to the Dallas Wings and all their new pieces, Arike Ogunbowale is the only active player from last year's team. So a lot of moving parts. I think Connecticut will remember what happened in that last game. Defensively, I think they will be better. So I expect a closer game just because of the adjustments now having one game on tape head-to-head, Dallas-Connecticut round 2.
And certainly being able to have the home court advantage for Connecticut is going to be big as well. As Brendan Galashin does a tremendous job as the play-by-play voice of the Connecticut Sun, joining me right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And this team has been a relatively pleasant surprise, and we're going to be seeing them in action on Friday. It's the Atlanta Dream. They've started out 8-4 right now in a lot of places. You'll find them right around about a 7.5 point favorite over the Washington Mystics. And this total, it's in the high 150s. I'm right now seeing a 158.5. Take me through this game and the emergence of what we've seen out of Alicia Gray, who has been absolutely tremendous this season for Atlanta.
Alicia Gray, 9 years now in the WNBA, teammates with Asia Wilson when they won the national championship at South Carolina. I think a lot of people see Alicia Gray and think, oh, she's only been in the league for a couple years. No, she's a veteran. She's a veteran, and she's having a breakthrough season. Had a tremendous winter down in Miami, and I think a lot of what Gray does, Carl Smesko is the new head coach. He coached over at Florida Gulf Coast, and that was a team. We see this now a lot in the G League, and guys go to the NBA. The 3-point 5-out offense, that's what Atlanta's running with Ryan Howard and Alicia Gray to open up the 3-point shot, allow Gray to be more of a creator of offense on her own, can get to the free throw line. But look out for that Mystics team with 2 emerging rookies. Just talked about Rivers and Morrow for Connecticut, Paige Bueckers for Dallas, Kiki Iriafin out of USC, and Sonia Citron out of Notre Dame. Those 2 rookies with Brittany Sykes, who is a veteran as well, making a case to be an all-star starter, at the very least, be a WNBA all-star for the first time. Atlanta's been really impressive with all of their new pieces. A lot of movement in this offseason for the WNBA. So, I think for Atlanta, their offensive execution compared to the previous few years to this year with the new regime, they are fitting their superstars in Gray and Howard. And as for the Mystics, that's a team that does not quit. They dig in defensively. So guarding the three-point line, which we see now in a lot of levels of basketball, is going to be a key cog to this game.
Absolutely, and we'll get back into the Friday games in a second, but I do want to alert you of this just because we do have a game that's going on right now as we do this. We have got the Valkyries of Golden State going against the Indiana Fever. That is 64-61, very close one in the fourth quarter, but for the Indiana Fever, in the game before, they actually took on the Connecticut Sun, got the job done there to be able to make the Commissioner's Cup final. As we know, Caitlin Clark was out for about 2 weeks due to injury. What are you seeing right now from the Fever? Because ever since Clark has come back, I don't think that's any shocker. They've really been able to up their game.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, this game that's going on right now, the Fever built an 11-point lead and the Valkyries on a 19-4 run. That Golden State team, they have a great home crowd.
Good defense,
I'm very impressed. I'm very impressed with what they're doing. I mean, it's an expansion team. It's a talented league. 160 best players in the world. And what they're doing, really a tremendous job to their staff and what they've been able to pull off here this first quarter of the season. As for Indiana, when they hired Stephanie White and they changed their roster, added some veterans to complement Clark, Kelsey Mitchell, Aaliyah Boston, the idea was to build an offense that Clark could play through and make the right read, a read and react system. So they lost Clark, as you mentioned, for 2 weeks, five games. And it really just kind of threw a wrinkle into what they were trying to do. And they're already trying to learn each other in the first place. But when Clark has the abilities there, but when she has that freedom to make the right read and make decisions, whether it's being an elite passer, I know folks tune in for the shot making. I get that. But then you watch her as a passer and how she just, her IQ is so high. It makes a lot of sense why she's up there for MVP in terms of the odds with Nafisa Collier. I get it. Clark, her addition to what that team does, they run that offense through her. So I know it's a cliche, but it's a work in progress for a lot of teams in the league. Indiana wants to be right by the time we get to September, but make no mistake, Caitlin Clark, the way she can read a game, she does not have to score. I know folks want to watch her score, but she wants to make the right play, and that's what she's about. And yes, they got the job done on Tuesday, and they've got a busy stretch here coming up, and Golden State's giving them a hard time right now. So that's credit to Golden State.
Yeah, and shout out to Kayla Thornton, who was a reserve the last few seasons for the New York Liberty, really having a breakout season, north of 13 points per game, and she's got double figures here tonight as well. And then we've got one other game that's going to be happening on Friday. Have about a minute for this one. It's going to be the West Coast game between the Vegas Aces and the Seattle Storm, with the Storm actually being a very slim favorite here. Right now, seeing them in that neighborhood about 2.5 to 3 point favorites. This total is in the mid-160s. How do you gauge this one? Because we did talk about the Aces right now themselves being a bit of a work in progress after the offseason trade that they made.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure what Wilson's status is for this game. I know she's been out with a concussion, so I apologize. I don't have that off the riff here, but I can't figure this Seattle team out. They won three early in the year, then they dropped three in a row. Marquee win over Minnesota to knock off the undefeated Minnesota Lynx at the time. They scored 98 the other night against the Los Angeles Sparks. They, too, with Nneka Ogumike, right? They've got Skylar Diggins-Smith running offense. Ezi Magbegor is a lockdown defender inside. I think their size, if Wilson, whether she plays or not, if she's out, that's a problem. Their front court with Nneka, Magbegor, Malonga, the draft pick, they can take control of this game with their interior presence. So Seattle, though, they've been inconsistent. There's no way around it. So is Vegas. So something's got to give.
It certainly does. And Asia Wilson, very questionable for that game on Friday. Okay. Something that we do know is that Brendan knows his stuff when it comes to WNBA. Big thanks to him. And coming up next, let's talk some baseball and cash it out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out. I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It was great to be joined by Brendan Glasheen, who does such a tremendous job on the WNBA front. He is the main play-by-play voice for the Connecticut Sun. Took a look at the games for Friday. Took a look at a little bit of what we're getting in general on the front of the WNBA. So big thanks to Brendan for joining me in the last segment. If you missed it, you missed out on the fact that we now have a Game 7 in the NBA Finals as well. Lots of hoops here on the show tonight. And that opening line starting to get really set in terms of Pacers versus the OKC Thunder. Right now with the Thunder, in most places, are an 8.5-point favorite. We have seen a few books go to 8. Circa, where I sit right now, sitting at an 8. And Circa right now sitting on the highest total at a 215.5. Right now seeing anywhere between a 214.5 to a 215.5. So we've got a little bit of a range there. Like I said, this is going to be another one of these games that I'm going to remain consistent with my style. I'm going to be betting this in-game. Team that falls behind in the fourth quarter, they are going to be getting my money, and they'll probably get me to the window, because that has been what has been happening all throughout the postseason. Even here tonight with the OKC Thunder getting down 30 points going into the fourth quarter, made a little bit of a nice surge to make that just a tad bit more respectable and give you a little bit of window dressing, losing that game by 17 points. So we'll be looking on that front. Do I have to look on the front of baseballs right as well? As right now we do have two games in action, and we'll turn it forward here to what we're going to be getting on Friday in a second. But if you're looking at this Padres versus Dodgers game, Dodgers getting shut out right now by a count of 2-0. Ryan Burgert has given you a relatively good start here for the San Diego Padres. He's been able to do a nice job holding down the fort, and he's a guy with a little bit of upside for the San Diego Padres team. Going to be interesting to gauge that moving forward, because the team not named the Dodgers that you see a lot of value with out there in the NL West is the San Francisco Giants. Actually, I was mentioning them on this fine program a few weeks ago as having value of 15-1. A lot of places have you down more around about an 8-1, but I still think that you've got some rock solid value. They did get the win here on Thursday by kind of 2-1 to be able to avoid the sweep to the Cleveland Guardians, but I do think that they're going to be able to provide you with some bang for your buck moving forward, as that bullpen number one in the big leagues in terms of ERA. But looking on the front of the San Diego Padres as well, they do have a rock solid bullpen as well. Gonna need Dylan Cease to be able to pick it up for Burgert. He went 4 2/3 innings scoreless, and right now you've got old Adrian Mutahone, who's gonna be on the bump for the Padres. And well, it's lovely being able to say that name. He'll be able to get the nice accent in there, but Mutahone right now doing a relatively solid job. And rare sight in this game tonight, Xander Bogaerts, who has not been good since he went to the San Diego Padres. He had an RBI double in the game, I believe it was yesterday. Here tonight, he was able to get his fourth home run season off of Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who's given up 2 runs in 6 innings. And for the Dodgers, right now 20-12 thus far this season entering into the night. But still, this has been a relatively rock-solid performance from the Padres. We'll see what happens moving forward, and we might be getting a rare sight tonight. We might get an under in a Sacramento game. Right now it is 2-1. The Athletics are leading the Houston Astros. And for the Athletics, pretty solid start out of Mr. Jacob Lopez, who's giving you 9 punch-outs, 6 innings of 1-run ball. Now, pitch count is up north of 90, so this is probably going to be the last inning for him. But old Corton Gordon, he gave up 2 runs over the course of 5 innings, actually showed through relatively well. And the 2 runs that he gave up were actually solo home runs. You did have Lawrence Butler be able to get his 11th home run season. And if you took Willie McIver for a home run tonight, well, he got his first one of the year. So I guess you could say that he was due, and it was actually his first career home run. So congratulations to Mr. Will. And how about if we do take a look at what we're going to be getting out there in Sacramento for this Friday, because it was a little bit TBD as to what we were going to be getting prior to myself coming onto the show, because the Athletics have just been really slow in announcing their starters. I'm not quite sure why they've been the slowest team in terms of announcing their starters in the big leagues, but they have been. But they're going to be actually taking on the Cleveland Guardians, who they just wrapped up a series against the San Francisco Giants. And right now with the old Athletics, it's going to be Jeffrey Springs on the bump for them against Tanner Bibee of the Cleveland Guardians. And on this game, you're finding that total right around about a minus 120 to a minus 126. And the total on this game, it is 9. And if you're looking at the Athletics, you're able to get a little bit of a plus number there, between in that neighborhood about plus 104 to plus 110. And certainly, I do think that this total has been set a little bit too low. But we want to be setting things very high here at VSiN as well. We'll get into that in a second, but first things first, you've got your morning bets here at VSiN. It is the VSiN Morning Bets Podcast. It's a way to be able to get the look at the first day's betting lines, sharp action, and market movement. It's nice, clean, compact, 15 minutes of just everything that you'll need to make smarter wagers for the day ahead. And to be able to say ahead of all the line movements, you're able to get it all done before your morning coffee is done. It's hosted by our VSiN team of trusted betting experts. The Daily Morning Lines podcast is fast, focused, and built for bettors like you. Listen to the VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast wherever you get your podcasts, or watch it on the VSiN Watch app. Sharpest way to be able to start your betting day is with the VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast, as it is cashing out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And getting back to what we're seeing in A's versus Guardians, it's been really rough for these Sacramento A's pitchers, because I've been noting this on the show the last few weeks, and it's very much worth noting. You've got some very demonstrative home and road splits with these Athletic starters. Like, you take a look at Luis Severino, the man that went on Wednesday. He had, going into that game on Wednesday, a 0.93 road ERA and a 7.10 ERA at home. Now, at some point, what comes up must come down. We're not going to be seeing everyone for the Sacramento A's having an ERA more than 7 times higher at home rather than on the road. I feel pretty confident in saying that, but Jeffrey Springs is another one of these guys that has really struggled at home, and it's a big reason why I'm going to be fading the Sacramento A's here, as the Sacramento A's just really don't have too much of a home crowd. Now, I say that in terms of the fact that they just are unfamiliar with the ballpark. They're actually getting more fans this year than they did last year, so I find that to be a little bit ironic, because they go to a smaller ballpark and all of a sudden you've got more fans, because, well, it was less than savory those last few years out there in Oakland, and the people of Sacramento have been very appreciative, so shout out to the wonderful city of Sacramento. But in terms of the city of Sacramento, it's also yielding a lot of runs. Jeffrey Springs, 5.51 home ERA, and at home he's been giving up the deep ball quite a bit, right around about 1.8, 1.9 home runs per 9 innings at home. On the road, this goes down to 1 home run per 9 innings, and on the road, he goes down to a 3.83 ERA, so very much something you want to be noting. And for the Athletics, dead stinking last in terms of bullpen ERA. You just have not had anyone other than Hogan Harris, who has pitched more than 10 innings this year, be able to supply a 4.25 ERA. And one of the guys that was able to give you a sub-4.50 ERA, Justin Sterner, he's been dealing with an injury. That's not great for the team. These guys like Grant Holman that you've been trying to mix and match with have been not so tremendous. And I will say this for the Cleveland Guardians, the fall-off with their bullpen has been very real this year. Last year, the Guardians, by far your number one team in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. This year, not so much, as we have seen Emmanuel Clase not necessarily be so tremendous. He's been blown a lot of games, did so last week against the Seattle Mariners, north of a 3.5 ERA for him. Additionally, you've been having a less than tremendous year for someone like a Tim Aaron. Jacob Junis has not been able to hold down the fort for this team. Cade Smith and Hunter Gaddis have been solid, both being able to give you a sub-3 ERA, both north of 12 strikeouts per 9 innings, but other than that, not a lot of relief. And for Tanner Bibee, he's another guy that has been having home and road splits, only more of the traditional kind. He has been posting up an ERA darn near 2 points higher on the road rather than at home. I believe all of his home runs have actually come on the road thus far this season as well. So that leads me a little bit more to the over. And I set my total a little bit north of 10. Like, at this point, it's just really hard for me to take an under out there in Sacramento. There are some pitching matchups where I'm going to be able to do so. Like, I still recall when Jesus Luzardo was actually pitching well, I was able to get an under there, but they have been very few and far between this season, with the over rate being darn near 60% out there in Sacramento. So that's been very much something I've been gauging. And with the Sacramento A's team, the lineup has been solid. I'm not going to call it amazing, but you have been able to get some relatively good production out of these guys like a Brent Rooker, Tyler Soderstrom entered in the night with a combined 29 home runs. They've been mixing and matching with guys they're able to move line with. Jacob Wilson, by the way, being absolutely amazing for the team. As I'm doing the show right now, off the board are like the rookie of the year odds and all these odds they're able to find in terms of player awards, but I mean, Jacob Wilson is a guy that I really think is worthy of perhaps a little bit of a nod out there in the American League for one of those great awards. As a matter of fact, right now for Rookie of the Year, I was seeing this over on one sports book. He's minus 1,000. Certainly not going to be able to get a ton of bang for your buck, but I wouldn't be looking elsewhere. I just don't know if Roman Anthony, Jack Caglione, those guys are going to be able to catch him. I think that this is his award to lose. But on the flip side, for the Cleveland Guardians, top heavy with regards to lineup is the best way of being able to put it. Jose Ramirez, rock solid. hitting north of 300. You know that he's going to be able to supply the boom, double-figure amount of homers, but lots of guys that are just not moving the line. Like, it was so bad that Brian Rocchio and Junkezie Noel got sent down to the minor league level. You've had a lot of these guys that you've been trying to mix and match with in the outfield, like a Nolan Jones that just have not been able to give you too much. David Fry was banged up in the limited amount of games that he's played. He has not been so tremendous, but you do have a little bit of power out of Kyle Manzardo. You need him to hit better than a 215, but he has been able to give you double-figure amount of homers. Stephen Kwan is solid at the leadoff spot, and again, with this A's team, just have not been able to pitch at home, so I do like that over. I set the Guardians at a minus 145, so I do like the Guardians on the money line as well. And coming up next, we do have Game 7 set in the NBA Finals. Let's dive in on that on the flip side on Cashin' Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.